Hi, everyone. Welcome to Unjaded for the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive. And it is that time for another relevant and timely conversation with industry leaders to cover the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer or OEM's radar like yours for a smoother and more successful road forward. So let's dive right in. I am excited to have one of our incredible dealer partners, an automotive authority, expert, and influencer, Kevin Fry, CMO at the Jeff Weiler Automotive Family, as well as Paulo da Silva, one of Cox Automotive's premier experts and VP of e-commerce, on our monthly series, Unjaded for the Road Forward. So Kevin and Paulo, I was thrilled to have this conversation because I know through your partnership, you just achieved a pretty incredible milestone, truly history in the making for this industry we know and love so much. A milestone I think most of our viewers and listeners most likely have heard about, but deserve a behind-the-scenes look at why it's being covered in major press outlets around the country and beyond. You have actually gotten real automotive press in other parts of the world, but more importantly, what it means to the future of selling new vehicles to the sophisticated consumer of today and tomorrow. You both bring accolades and advice for what is ahead for every dealer, and so I'm so grateful to have you both with us today. So welcome, Paulo and Kevin.
Thanks for having me, Jade. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, awesome to be here. Thank you, Jade.
Well, I'm going to start out by asking you both to share what this big accomplishment was first and why it was so pivotal to not only Cox Automotive and the Jeff Weiler Automotive Group, but why this is such a milestone for the automotive industry. So, Kevin, I'm going to start with you.
So we sold the first new car in a true 100% online e-commerce transaction. And I want to make sure that I define and differentiate why this is such an industry breakthrough for automotive. There are some other great solutions out there right now. People that I respect, Tesla, the Carvanas of the world, et cetera, where consumers perceive that they have a full transaction online. But the difference in the reality is that you can go so far in their process, and then you're going to have to stop and either A, interact with a call center or wait on a live person to call you back. The analogy I would draw would be like if you went to Amazon, for example, to buy something, clicked on buy, and then you got a message for stand by until we can get back to you to complete the transaction. Our first transaction, just the time of when it occurred, really defines the difference. It had happened around 11:30 at night when the dealership was closed. All the banks are closed, yet the consumer was able to buy a car 100% online with a true shopping cart transactional experience. This is the big breakthrough. So we have great news. Consumers can not only buy 100% online truly today, but they can do it in as little as 15 minutes.
Love it. Paulo?
Yeah, and we've been partnering with Weiler now for a couple of years, and we started with the used car side. I mean, obviously easier to navigate a used car transaction relative to a new car transaction. You don't have to be worried about incentives or subvention, things of that nature that make new cars just a little bit more complicated. But now our used car capability is really battle tested, is in a great spot, and our focus is to think about how do we grow the capability for new car as well. And we know that the segment of consumers who are interested in buying a car 100% online is still small. But I personally believe very deeply that the propensity to buy 100% online is much higher in new cars relative to used cars. And I also think that the percentage of people who want to buy 100% online is partially constrained by just availability, right? There's just not a whole lot of options out there. And as Kevin pointed out, rightfully so, the options that do exist are, you know, perhaps leave a bit to be desired if you're truly looking for that fully automated, I don't want to talk to anyone experience. So I think it's, you know, really exciting milestone, and I couldn't think of a better partner to have it with. So super excited about the milestone for sure.
Right on. So, you know, I know the journey to get here was not easy, that it wasn't without ups and downs, but now that you're here, can you both share why, just 3.5 years after launching the e-commerce solution for used car online purchases, some dealerships have either kind of given up or pivoted their efforts on creating an e-commerce channel. Are you seeing this happening? And what are some of the specific reasons why? I'm going to start with you, Kevin, and then Paolo, I'll move to you. And if you could also both share kind of one piece of advice you would give to a dealership organization that's interested in establishing an e-commerce channel.
I would say right now that the amount of people that want to buy truly 100% online is a small audience, yet it's growing. And the majority of dealers want to focus on other areas of sales rather than ourselves. We're always trying to be forward thinking and to be ahead of the market. The way I'd best present this, we were very early on with digital retailing. I'm talking back when it was just a linear experience. There was a lot of friction involved. But by taking that journey early, the way we were rewarded was when we had the pandemic in 2020, we were positioned perfectly, so much so that we were actually the number one automotive group in the country leveraging the Cox Automotive Digital Retailing solution. The other thing that happened after that, if you recall, is that the use of digital retailing grew exponentially as our consumers became aware of it, they liked using it, and started using it more so in the future. I draw that picture because we believe we're going to see the same pattern with this true 100% online buying experience. Think about it like this. Think about the first time you bought something on Amazon. You were a little iffy. You were wondering if it was going to show up. Was it going to be what you actually bought? Thought you were buying. And then think about today where you do it without a split second of thought. You're buying from Amazon, a lot of people, every single day. We feel that we're going to see a similar long-term pattern by offering this solution and getting ahead of the curve with the market.
That's so well said. Paolo, your thoughts?
100%. I mean, right on. And what I would say is, like, if I think about the groups that have attempted to get into the space and haven't done well, are the ones that did that thought of e-commerce as this standalone channel, this thing that is operating almost in a parallel universe relative to their stores. And that creates an enormous amount of complexity and conflict, frankly, between the folks who are in the stores and the folks that are trying to drive e-commerce, right? And if you go back to, like, imagine back in, you know, 15 years ago, when you were to buy something, let's say, from homedepot.com, it got delivered home, and then you wanted to go to a store and return it, you couldn't. Or if you could return it in store, they would have a special booth that would say online orders only.
Right.
That's because they were handling those orders online as separate from the business in store. And people in store would even say, like, I don't know anything about that. That's, you know, with the online people, right? So you even created a fractured consumer experience. So where I'm going with this is that the people are doing really well, like the Jeff Wallen family here. I think what they're doing is they're getting the stores bought in. They work through the process as such that it's just any, like any other transaction for them. There's less, you know, conflict, less tension. Everybody's rowing in the same direction. And I think that's the best way to bring that experience to life and get results.
Yes, it definitely is. So, Kevin, I love that you shared that to be first to the finish line, to really be an innovator, embrace the challenges, that it takes trust as an organization and your goals and your strategy and your vision. And I have been saying for years now at every conference or speaking engagement or client meeting that if you don't have buy-in from your entire organization, map out that plan, it just won't work. And that's down to, you know, adoption of the most simple tool or technology stack. Everyone in every role truly needs to understand the what, the why, and the how you plan those goals and vision and the way you've mapped it out for everyone to get there, and also how it impacts them. Truly give them the peace of mind that they need to realize the change is going to improve their ability to perform their role, improve their customer satisfaction, and ultimately sell more cars. And, you know, we all know that change isn't easy. So leadership must be super strong and steadfast to drive this transformation. So, Kevin, can you share what steps you've taken within your organization to ensure that seamless coordination and communication and to truly kind of build a bridge between the strategy of the in-store versus the online teams for Weiler Complete and other departments within the dealership, like your BDC or your service department?
Well, I have to chuckle a bit because it's never seamless. I would certainly be the hero of the industry if that was the case. But you hit the nail on the head. You really need strong leadership at the top to drive change like this. And one of the key things we did with, in this case, the e-commerce, 100% e-commerce solution was how we viewed it. The way we looked at it is, A, it was an additional channel being offered to our consumers, a different way they could still buy a car. And it was not there to compete with what we currently have. But the other thing we looked at very closely was that we looked at this as an incremental increase to our sales, because right now the consumers that were looking to buy 100% online were going to other channels, other providers, because they didn't see it offered by a dealer like ourselves. The last thing, and I know Paula is more than familiar with this, whenever we look to make an important decision, we ask ourselves one simple question. Does this make us more consumer facing? If the answer to that is yes, you're going to win almost every single time. And when we looked at this solution, we see it as being consumer facing and being future ready.
I love what you just said, and that is so important. You know, we have at Cox Automotive have also spent many years driving and decision making all around our experiences based on consumer first, because you are right. If you put the consumer first and the consumer is doing more things with you, that's driving more value into your dealership. And I love that in order to get buy-in and have the success that you've had to plan for that connection across the organization. So now, Paolo, I want to ask you, in your experience, what do you believe that Kevin and the Wireler organization have done right when it came to taking the right steps to ensuring that connection and coordination from within their organization? And then what do you suggest that others do as they're stepping into or starting to dial up their e-commerce strategy?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin touched on exactly to me what is the difference here. Is I think everybody has heard this before, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And I think this is exactly it, right? What Kevin said with, you know, the organization having this compass that says, if, you know, when in doubt, be more consumer facing, right? Choose the option that takes you to be more consumer facing. That's something that is really hard to replicate. How do you codify that into people's minds and hearts, right? How do you, you know, I bet if you go around Wyler and you know, their stores, you find people who probably have that tattooed in their arms or bodies, right? Because it's such a right, it's such a part of the DNA of the company, and in testament of the work that you know, the whole family has done. Obviously, Kevin being the leader in that space, but when you have that, that fundamentally allows you to make the right decisions as you're approaching any new technology. In this case, you know, e-commerce, but it could be anything else. And I think that my recommendation to any group out there who's considering this is first do an examination of the culture you have, the leadership you have. And as a consequence, then if you think you're ready for this kind of change, then let's talk about the technology, because that's secondary relative to the culture that we just talked about.
Yes, for sure. Kevin mentioned incrementality. And we all know, and I could talk for hours and days around distance retailing and inventory strategy and anything aligned with gaining incremental revenue. In fact, in our FIERCE acronym for 2024 and 2025, which are the six key focus areas for absolute success, the E at the end is e-commerce and the I in the middle is incrementality, because almost every deal and every consumer has some piece of an e-commerce thread or expectation to it already. So Kevin, I want to ask you, how would you say your inventory strategy has evolved since offering an e-commerce sales channel from an acquisition perspective?
We are like every other dealer in the country, and we desperately want more inventory. The some of the things we've done, number one, just for example, working our KBBI ICO leads, ultra reviewing that process. I'm talking on a weekly basis. We're being very aggressive and competitive in our offers, and also being very quick to adapt and make changes. One of the biggest resources we have beyond that is our actual dealership websites. We know we have in-market shoppers visiting us, so we're making sure we're using that platform to leverage our brand name power and to get the message out, hey, we'd love to buy your car even if you don't want to buy a car from us. We're revisiting processes to work our service lanes every single day as those vehicles come through. And then finally, we're looking at other third-party solutions that are out there, as well as the auctions. Anything and everything is open for consideration in a market like this to try and get that invaluable inventory that all of us desire.
Yes, you cannot get incremental sales without more inventory than you had before. That is absolute fact and math. So I want to shift gears here and talk just a little bit about fraud. Here at Cox Automotive, we are hyper-focused on this and build it into all of our solutions as core properties. And so, you know, it's one of the many things that sets us apart, especially in our e-commerce capabilities. And I think it's also something that all dealers and OEMs are concerned with, as are consumers. So can each of you share a little bit about, you know, fraud protection, how it's a part of the technical workflow and part of contract automation? And so, Paolo, I'm actually going to start with you on this one. And then we'll move to Kevin. And Kevin, when I get to you, I'd love for you to also speak to what are some of the benefits that you see here in terms of operational efficiency or maybe even differentiation in your client messaging, for example, in your organization's existing processes that you keep referring to. So, Paolo, let's start with you.
Yeah, Jade, as you said, obviously fraud management is paramount in our business and a big focus of ours. And if you think about e-commerce, I think intuitively, everybody would probably recognize or expect that you'd have higher incidence of fraud in an e-commerce channel that you'd see in a traditional physical transaction, right? And so we knew that from the get-go, and we invested quite significantly to build our fraud capabilities. And I call them e-commerce grade, right? In the sense that they're much more robust than what you typically have to worry about putting in place in the context of a store when you're looking, you know, face-to-face with whoever's buying a vehicle. So what's included here is really the use of technology to do next level ID verification. So in store, we know the game, right? The best case scenario, someone takes scans the driver's license to put in a CRM, or maybe they'll take a photocopy of the driver's license and that's about it, right? In e-commerce, we ask the consumer to take a picture front and back of the driver's license. We take all the information of the driver's license, emboss it against the DMV, and the bureaus. We verify all that information to make sure that it matches. We do synthetic ID verifications. We verify everything from like watermarks and the like, over 50 verifications overall. We also ask the consumer actually take a selfie, which is not a picture, it's actually a mini video. And we use that selfie to match with the picture in the driver's license and to make sure that it's a live person. It's not a picture of a picture. So that's the depth of verification we do. We do insurance verification, but again, instead of just getting an insurance card, we actually ask the consumer to log into their insurance portal through our experience so that we can fetch that insurance card directly from the insurance provider. And then we go through the usual red flags, OFAC process that all of our clients understand very well, but we do it in automated fashion, right? As part natively of the workflow. And so when you think about it, you always have incidents of fraud in just about any scenario, but we feel very strongly that we've gone above and beyond in terms of putting capabilities in place to mitigate that risk. And obviously that's great for dealers. I think that's great for OEMs when their brands are being represented in this environment, but I also think it's great for consumers too, because it's an assurance that whoever you're working with, whoever you're doing business with, is a serious player who has your interest at heart as well.
Yeah, so important. And as our industry is under a microscope, not only from a regulatory perspective, but there are a lot of bad actors that are looking at automotive. Like you said, there are, you know, driver's licenses floating around sitting on people's desks and showrooms. And so the technology pieces of the e-commerce consumer workflow, it's yet another reason for protection of your customers and your dealership that moving towards this e-commerce adoption, I think, has to be top of mind and it has to be a focus area. Even if you're not ready to go all the way, you have to be thinking along these lines. So, Kevin, tell us your thoughts on the fraud front.
I'll give you a great example. We do a user experience study every year to be best in touch with our consumers. And one of the things that we were asking was whether or not they would, you know, prefer to sell their car privately, or if they'd like to sell it to a dealership like ourselves. And what we heard kind of caught us by surprise, and it came down to the fraud avoidance and security. Because when you get in the options of something, for example, like a Facebook marketplace, it opens you up to so much potential fraud from people trying to take advantage of you, but also security, where we've had literally here in our market, some people have met up and it was a setup and literally, you know, getting shot in one case last fall, bad things. And so we actually transitioned our messaging from, instead of, you know, get the most money for your car or get your money today, to simple, safe, secure. And by the way, that's the same messaging we've taken into this 100% online e-commerce transaction, because people actually want to do business with us because they know it's going to be a safe and secure transaction. And so we're definitely building upon that.
Yes, such wonderful points. So Paolo, let's get a little future forward here for just a second and take what you both shared just a few minutes ago. So in terms of platform analytics, can you tell us a little more about MagicWall, what it is, and the advantages that it brings to the table?
Absolutely. MagicWall is something I'm really excited about. I think it has a number of applications, but I'm explaining what it is in a nutshell. What it is the ability to do penny perfect payment calculations based on a soft credit pull of a consumer, right? Now, you're probably wondering, well, that already exists out there. What's special about it, right? What's different? In this case, what's different is that behind the scenes, we're actually calculating not only the payments, but also estimating the probability that any lender that has a relationship with the retailer in question would actually buy that paper. And we're doing that based on dynamically the lenders that, for example, Weiler has a relationship with. And we're looking at real decisions that these lenders have made over the last several months in order to use a very representative and accurate perspective of that probability. And so what that allows us to do is to not only calculate those payments and allow consumers to shop using payments as a reference point, quickly visualize not only the rooftop level inventory and payments for that, but for the whole group overall in a matter of milliseconds. But behind the scenes, we have that information and the probability of lender approval, if you will, which allows us to use it in very clever ways. For example, we're now working towards enabling that right before a credit app. So imagine you as a consumer, you've done a soft credit pull to work through and look at the inventory with payment calculations in there. You're about to submit a credit app on a specific deal that you like. If we think that your probability of approval is low on the given deal structure you have, given everything we know about the lenders, you know, that are working with this dealer and the like, we could actually stop right there and offer alternatives to the consumer and say, look, we can proceed with credit app as this vehicle, but we also have these other vehicles, or we also have, you have a higher probability of approval if you increase down payment or if you stretch your term of the deal. So that will dramatically improve conversion rate in our estimation. And we also think that will provide a much better consumer experience, right? Because what's going to end up being the case is that instead of you just being flat out declined, you instead are going to get, guidance as to what vehicle and structure makes most sense for you. So really excited about the technology, not only where it's at today, but where it can lead us in terms of application online and also in store eventually.
Yes, such awesome advancements and still so much future and runway ahead as this technology unfolds. So I would love to wrap up this incredible conversation by asking you a final question. The most important one, if you could each share from a personal or business perspective, what it means to have achieved this incredible accomplishment that the two of you just did. So what would you say that is? Kevin, I'm going to start with you.
Well, I would say that we really take pride in being a leader in the industry, and those efforts are almost always driven by our efforts to be more consumer facing. But I want to step back and also say, and I'm very proud to be with Jeff Weiler, because we're willing to give back to the industry. We believe that if we find something, we lead the way in something that's more consumer facing, it helps the entire industry to become better. That's why you'll see people like myself at the conferences out there sharing the good word of how we can all improve and ultimately make the car buying experience even better in the future.
You should be proud. The automotive space is a better place because of you and organizations like the Weiler Automotive family. Paolo?
Thank you.
And that right there, if you take that 30 seconds of Kevin's answer, that in a nutshell is why we have such admiration for Kevin and for Weiler, and we are so proud to partner with the Jeff Weiler family. You know, for us, what I'll say, Jade, is we've been working on this for well over 3 years now, and there's hundreds of people, a lot of money involved in this, and you know, lots of sleepless nights and fits and starts, and to finally be here and not only achieve this milestone, but also know that we've done it with the best in the business and people who really care about the outcome, who care about how not only what we achieved, but how we achieved it. It means the world to our team and to myself. And so we're just proud and excited to be here finally.
Well, it is a celebration. So reach around both of you and pat yourselves on the back. Well deserved. So as we wrap up this phenomenal conversation with Kevin and Paolo, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you sharing everything you're doing to pave the way to be true innovators who embrace change, who embrace what consumers want, and embrace the future. And again, just congratulations on the awesome accomplishment that will have an effect on our industry forevermore. The industry is different now because of what you guys have done.
Well, thank you so much.
Kevin, any last remarks?
I'm just proud to have great partners like yourself. I mean that sincerely. Cox gets just such a tremendous amount of credit for all their hard work. We just happen to be blessed to be partnered up with you to execute it and make it happen.
Well, thank you for that. And so I think that wraps us up for today. I want to extend a huge thank you to Kevin Fry and Paolo Da Silva for taking some time out of their busy schedules to be my guest. And a huge thank you to all of you for watching or listening to Unjaded for the Road Forward. Don't forget to sign up as a subscriber to this series so that you can be one of the first to hear when new episodes like this release, as well as receive subscriber-only bonus content by going to b2b.autotrader.com/unjaded for the road forward, as well as have access to incredible previous episodes on trends, hot topics, new ideas, and solutions to help all of us have a more successful road forward. As always, I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, and I'd like to thank you for joining us for Unjaded Discussions aimed at helping you navigate what matters most. Be sure to tune in each month as we'll continue the open conversations with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they're continuing to see, do, and forecast is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the automotive industry. As always, we are cutting through the noise to drive real results for you.